Open our Bibles now, please, to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 57, in your Schofield Bible, page 763, and we'll be reading verses 10 through 15. These six verses, we'll read them responsively. Let's stand, please, everyone standing for the reading of God's Word. And may I point out, please, that the 15th verse is the text verse. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet sayest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared, that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart? Have not I held my peace, even of old, and thou fearest me not? I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land, and shall inherit my holy mountain, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the High and Lofty One, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And let's pray. Father, bless the service, bless the preaching. And how needed is the message. We pray that thou wouldst help us to surely be attentive and to take seriously the obligation that we have to hear thy word, and help us to delight in the privilege and joy that we have in hearing from thee. So bless alike both messenger and those who listen. In Jesus' name, amen.
It was said of our God that he was the High and Holy One. And then it gives a startling statement when it says he inhabiteth eternity. That's an amazing statement. The word inhabiteth means he dwelleth, he lives in eternity. Now, I can't comprehend that. Eternity seems like a what, not a where, but the honest truth is our Lord inhabiteth eternity. Maybe it has something to do with Psalm 8:1, where it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens, for out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength, because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy works, or thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful, and so forth. But that first line and the last line says this, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And then he goes on to say in the first verse, who has set thy glory above the heavens. The word glory there means platform, like an actor would perform on a great platform. God came out, they built a platform the size of the earth, and God was going to perform. But his performance was too big for the earth to contain. And so they built a platform above the earth. And then that was too big, or too small rather, for his act was too big for the platform above the earth to contain. And so they built a platform above the heavens in order that God might perform his mighty deeds. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory or thy performing platform above the heavens. Our God inhabiteth eternity. I want to talk to you tonight on that one word, just that one word, eternity. Eternity. Our Lord inhabiteth eternity. Now, Holy Spirit, I yield myself as best I know how. If I knew better, I'd do it for you for these moments. There are no unimportant hours, no unimportant services, no unimportant sermons. And so I pray tonight that you'd speak to our hearts and give us what we need and help us to become awestruck at this indescribable, immeasurable word, eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. I can't quite understand this. I guess the truth is, we probably don't believe in heaven. I doubt if we do. I guess that not one person in ten really believes in a hell. That's eternal. I mean, do you mean to tell me that you could believe that there is a land which is fairer than day, a city built by the hands of God Himself, where the redeemed live forever and ever and ever and ever? Do you mean to tell me you can believe that and believe that there is a place of eternal torment where those who die without God burn forever and ever and ever? Do you mean to tell me that you could believe those two things and never tell anybody about Jesus? Are you listening? Did you hear what I said? How could a person believe in a burning eternal hell and an eternal holy city built by God and never tell anybody about it? Beyond comprehension. The truth is, the average person in this room, though with your conscious mind, you would say you believe in eternity. The truth is, the average person in this room has not the slightest or foggiest concept of eternity. Years ago, when I was a lad, the circumstances above my life, which are as well known to you as they are to me, caused me to be an introvert, quiet, withdrawn, teenage lad, very underweight, very immature as far as my physical growth was concerned. And I can recall, as a kid, walking around the block, down Idaho till I got to Elmore, up Elmore till I got to Ewing, down Ewing till I got to Hobson, down Hobson till I got to Idaho, and then back down Idaho to Elmore, and Elmore to Ewing, and Ewing to Hobson, and Hobson to Idaho. Just a poor kid. Night after night, I'd walk around the block and think about life. I'd wonder why my daddy wasn't at home while other daddies were. I'd wonder why my mother had no new dresses while other mothers did. I'd wonder why other boys had their dads in church with them while mine was not there. I would wonder why we were so poor when other folks had nice houses and nice cars. And with introspection and meditation, night after night after night, I would walk around the block thinking. Did you know that numbers of my chapters, are you listening? Numbers of my chapters and my, are you listening? Nobody talking. Numbers of my chapters in my book on blue denim and lace were outlined 39 years ago. I kept them, the outlines, and numbers of those chapters in Blue Denim and Lace and also in Strength and Duty were outlined when I was a teenage lad, quiet, introverted, thinking about life. One night as I was sitting on the curb, I was thinking about life. I remember I got thinking about how everything comes that you look forward to coming. I got thinking about a football game. You look forward to a certain football game, and before you know it, the game is there. And that night I called my friend Bob Keyes, who's now in heaven, was my assistant pastor for several years and with whom I served the Lord on many occasions, with whom I grew up from the time I was 9. He and I were both 9. I was from September to March older than Bob. And I called Bob, and I said, Bob, I want to talk to you. We walked up to Darty's Pharmacy to get a malted milk. You'd get a malted milk the size of a chocolate milkshake for a nickel back in those days. We walked up to Darty's Pharmacy, which is about a mile, I guess, away. And I told Bob some of the thoughts that I had. And I told him, I said, Bob, you understand that that we look forward to things and we think they'll never come, but they come. And I said to my teenage friend Bob, I said, Bob, the truth is, death is the same way. That's a strange thing for a 13, 14, 15-year-old boy to be talking about. But I said, Bob, we don't think about dying. We're just teenagers. But I said, the day will come when we'll die. I was in Dallas, Texas, Richardson, Texas, outside Dallas, preaching, four or five years ago. Bob Keyes, who had been seriously ill for a number of years, but was back preaching some on a limited schedule, and I was supposed to share the platform. When I got there, word came that Bob had been rushed to Veterans Hospital. And I went to see him. Bill Harvey and I went to see him. And we always cut up together. Bob and I did. We were always good buddies, and so we cut up a great deal. And there Bob lay, and I knew he was on his deathbed, and Bob knew it. And I said, Bob, remember the night that you and I walked together and talked about life years ago? He said, Jack, I remember it well. I said, remember, Bob, we talked about how that a football game seems so far away, but it comes, and then being in high school seems so far away, but it comes, and then high school graduation seems like it'll never come, but it does come. And Bob said, I remember that, Jack. And I said, remember, Bob, that night we talked about the fact that death would come. And tears moistened his eyes as my dying buddy said, yes, Jack, I remember it. And he said, Jack, I know it's pretty soon for me. I'd loved him and known him for years. I said, Bob, I'm going to do something that I never have done before. He said, what? And I said, you'll see. I reached down and kissed him on the brow and said, I love you. The last word Bob ever said to me was, yeah. Folks, young folks, old folks, it's going to come. And I remember one night I was sitting there and all of a sudden one word hit me, eternity. I was captured by it. Eternity. Eternity. It seemed like that all of a sudden everything became a great choir and said, eternity. The trees were no longer dumb, for the wind that blew through their leaves seemed to say, eternity. The stars became vocal as a choir, and they seemed to say to me from the skies as I scanned the Texas stars that night, eternity, eternity. The wind whistled through the rustling leaves, eternity. The cricket caroled it, eternity. My whole body began to shake as I saw all of a sudden stop, realized that here I was, a little spot on time, a little dot in the organization of man, of God, and the government of God. And here I was, just a little parenthesis as far as time was concerned, and time is a parenthesis as far as eternity is concerned. And suddenly I got consumed with this one word, eternity. It was as if a new world had opened up to me. My mind was lost in its vastness. The world became a cathedral of human speech. Eternity. 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 And I can recall my little mind saying, how foolish it is for us to think about time when there is eternity. And I got thinking, I wonder why we do so much that has to do with time when there is an eternity. It was to me a real sublime addition to my vocabulary, eternity. My soul was hushed into worship, and every faculty seemed to be awed into stillness. And that night, as a teenage lad, listen, you say, oh, a teenager can't have those thoughts. Oh, did you hear what William Cullen Bryan wrote when he was 17? So live that when thy summons comes to join that innumerable caravan that sweeps to the endless portals of death, go thou not as the quarry slave at night, scourged to his dungeon, but sustained and soothed with an unfaltering trust, approach thy grave as one wraps the drapery of his couch about him and lies down to pleasant dreams. Those words were just a part of that marvelous Thanatopsis written by a 17-year-old lad. And I want to tell you something, young folks. I rebel at the fact that young people don't think about anything these days, oftentimes, but hot dogs and hay rides and trips to Great America. I mean, young folks will think about eternity, too. And young folks will think about God, too. And young folks are supposed to realize this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. There needs to settle on fundamentalism one great word, eternity. 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 And my soul was gripped in my mind, was completely engulfed, and my heart was absolutely lost in one word, eternity, 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 eternity. Yesterday in Chicago, over here on 47th Street, a man was drowned. Did you hear how he was drowned? He saw a bird in the water and jumped in the water to save the life of that bird. And he was drowned. As I read that and heard it, I thought, what a waste. What a waste. I mean, what a foolish waste of life. A man giving his life to try to salvage or save a little bird from drowning. And yet, the honest truth is, the average person in this room tonight is giving your life for a lot less than the salvation of a little bird from drowning. Eternity! Eternity! Is it true? Then why dwell we so much on time? Eternity! Is it real? Then why spend we so much on time? Eternity! Is it real? That's the thing that causes me to go by day and by night. Eternity. That's the reason I don't play like many folks play. Eternity. That's the reason I work hard and try to keep on going. Eternity. That's the reason I don't take time off much. Eternity. I'm not saying it's wrong to take time off, but I'm saying we take a heap too much of it all. And we are too much wrapped up in the temporal and too little wrapped up in the eternal when we are but a spot. In all of history, we are but a dot, a speck of sand on eternity's beach. And yet we get so wrapped up with this one little bitty spot on eternity when there is a vastness out there of eons upon eons upon eons where men shall walk golden streets and live, walk through gates of pearl and fellowship with our God forever and forever and forever and forever. And men shall die and go to burning hell, and they'll burn in hell and cry and scream and fall and beg for mercy forever and forever and forever and forever. Why, pray then, tell me why we spend so much of our time on things that have only to do with time when there is an eternity. Now, you know I like to have fun. You know I sometimes am criticized for cutting up too much. I love to have fun. But there beats in my breast by day and by night eternity, eternity. There beats in my breast as I sometimes want to stop and rest eternity, eternity. Souls of men shall never die. We used to sing a song, the soul of man shall never die. And if there is an eternal, pray tell me, why spend so much time, effort, money on that which is so temporal? Houses shall pass away. Clothes shall pass away. Bank accounts shall pass away. Fame shall pass away. Popularity shall pass away. New cars shall pass away. Stocks and bonds shall pass away. Gold shall melt with the fervent heat of a judging God. Pray tell me why I spend with us so much time buying and selling and marrying and giving in marriage and eating and drinking and spending our lives so much on that which is time when there dwells out yonder a vast eternity immeasurable by man, which is the habitation of our God.
It's time we thought about it. Fundamentalism is rapidly becoming nothing more than a second class amusement place. Our convictions of eternity are passing off the scene. You say, preacher, aren't you tired of having enemies? Not when I think of eternity. Aren't you tired of folks criticizing you? Not when I think of eternity. Aren't you weary sometimes? Not when I think of eternity. Eternity. Thomas Chalmers was a famous preacher of another generation. Thomas Chalmers worked 2 days a week. Only two. He went to a university to prepare himself for another pursuit the other 5 days. Something happened to Thomas Chalmers. He was changed. He became a flaming evangel. He became a man who worked by day and by night, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. His life was transformed. No longer was he a two-day-a-week preacher. One time he wrote these words, "I can assert that from what to me is the highest authority, that after the satisfactory discharge of his parish duties, a minister may enjoy 5 days a week of uninterrupted leisure for the prosecution of any science in which his taste may dispose him to engage." The man who wrote that became a fervent evangelist, serving God by day and by night. When somebody asked him, "Mr. Chalmers, are you listening?" "Yes, Mr. Chalmers." "Why? What changed you?" Mr. Chalmers said, and I quote, "I had forgotten two magnitudes. One, I had not thought of the littleness of time. And two, I had recklessly thought not of the greatness of eternity." I can tell you how you become a soul winner. Believe in eternity. I can tell you how you be faithful to God's house morning, night, and live for God and read your Bible and pray. Think of eternity. In the light of eternity, the stock market becomes nothing more than a second-rate monopoly game. In the light of eternity, life becomes a speck in time's great wilderness. In the light of eternity, material possessions become play toys. In the light of eternity, mountains are as transient as are the clouds. In the light of eternity, the created world is a small parenthesis. In the light of eternity, oak is as temporary as the wind. Complaining seems so useless. Wasted time seems so foolish. Marvel is like foliage. Eternity makes life a narrow isthmus between two boundless seas. The thought of eternity makes the aged appear to be as newborn babes. Strife seems so needless. Wealth is a collection of marbles. The Taj Mahal is a shabby tent. TV seems so needless. Time has no present. Eternity has no past or future. It makes earth as a grain of sand. I'm saying, if you ever grasp this thing, then out yonder, in the vast beyond, there is an eternity. It'll change your life as it changed mine. You say, "Why are you so nutty?" "Because I believe in eternity." You say, "Why do you work by day and night?" "Because I believe in eternity." You say, "Why the pressure?" "Why the pressure?" "Because I believe in eternity." And if you ever grasp it, it'll transform your life, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. There's far too much commercialism in the Christian church. There's far too much materialism in the Christian church. We're far too much worried about our retirement plans than about a preacher came to me. And he said to me, he said, "Dr. Tiles, I belong to a liberal denomination, but I'm not liberal." He said, "Preacher, what should I do?" I said, "Get out of it. Get out of it." But he said, "I'm not going to change it." Nobody's ever changed it. If R.G. Lee couldn't change the Southern Baptist, and if W.A. Criswell couldn't, if W.B. Riley couldn't change the Northern Baptist, and if Calvin couldn't keep the Presbyterian straight, then if Wesley couldn't keep the Methodist straight, then you're not going to be able to keep liberal denomination. I said, "Get out of it." He said, "I can't get out of it." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I have retirement plan in it." He said, "You have retirement plan?" I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "What is it? Who's it with?" I said, "Philippians 4:13. and Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In the light of eternity, what does retirement plan matter? What does a new car matter? What does a new house matter? What does a few dollars in the bank matter? Why? Eternity! That's why. Ebenezer Erskine said, in describing the greatest experience he ever had, somebody said, "What happened to you, Mr. Erskine?" He said, and I quote, "I got my head out of time and into eternity." And that's what we ought to do. Get our heads out of time and into eternity. We get so wrapped up in teaching a child a few things that'll help him live well here for 70. Let him die and go to hell and spend eternity without God. That's foolhardiness. We spend our time insuring our lives so our families will have something to eat and a place to live after we're gone for maybe 25, 30, 40 years or so, and yet no thought of eternity. Andrew Bonar said, "I strive to keep the feeling of eternity always before me." Rabbi Duncan said at the end of the school year to his students, or at the end of the year to his students, he said, "You have had many folks to say Happy New Year." He said, "I say Happy Eternity." What does time matter? Are you listening to me? What does time matter? Young folks, are you listening to me? What does time matter in light of eternity? Uncle Tom and Uncle Tom's cabin was in the hands of the brutal Legree. Uncle Tom was in an old shack, a slave shed. He was bleeding from being beaten. His face was splattered with blood from having been slapped. His back was torn. His flesh was ripped and blood was caked on him. As Uncle Tom lay there, a beaten man at the hands of the wicked, brutal Legree. He looks out the window, he sees the stars and realizes that God made them, and sees the moon, realizes that God made the moon. He sees the space and realizes somewhere out there there's God who inhabits eternity. The wicked, brutal Legree looked at Uncle Tom and said, "Now would you like to be tied to a tree and have a slow fire lit up around you, nigger?" Uncle Tom said, "Massa, after you've killed this body, ain't no more you can do." I have an awful hard time understanding why you spend more time watching an idiot box than you do in this book. Look at it. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Yeah, I give you what it really says. That word "settled" means is the foundation. "Forever, O Lord, this book, thy word, is the foundation of heaven." How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you, He has said, "You who unto Jesus for refuge have fled"? Well then, pray tell me, why is it you spend more time watching All in the Family and Love Boat and Dallas and MASH and all the filthy things that you take in your mind through your eyes and ears, when you have on your table the eternal, never-dying Word of God? How foolish you are, watching time with eternity sitting over there on the table. Good night! What's wrong with us? I hold in my hand eternity. You spend your time watching time. The day I picked up a magazine in the on the airplane, it was called Time Magazine. And I was reading the Bible. Little stewardess walked by and she said, "Do you like to read time?" I said, "No, I like to read eternity." But what's wrong with us? What's wrong with us? I'm not talking about just Playboy and Penthouse. I'm talking about good magazines. Time. Oh, we're so occupied on time. Would God we could do what the great servant of God said, "I lifted my head out of time and got it into eternity. When the stars have dropped from heaven like untimely figs from an overripe tree. When the moon blushes and becomes black as sackcloth of hair. The sun becomes as hot as the burning coals. And when man is gone and kings have crumbled and empires have gone and mountains have become valleys and valleys have become mountains and time is no more. 10 billion years, 10 trillion years, 10 billion trillion years. This old book will be as new as it was the first day the first man ever penned the words that God gave him. Yet we spend so much on time and so little on eternity. Oh, but you say, preacher, I'm young. I got to have some fun. You have no right to do anything God doesn't tell you to do. I don't care how young you are. I've been concerned lately about some of our youth program. I'm not criticizing our youth director or anybody. I've been concerned our young folks play too much. I've been concerned we're too wrapped up. I'm talking about young people now. We've been too wrapped up in, and I'm not against what we do. Brother Eddie and I were talking. He agreed with me. Our schools ought to be schools of eternity. Our football team, basketball team, are more concerned about eternity than about time. 6 years old, 16 years old, or 60 years old, if Jesus is your Savior, your eternity or your time will be baptized millions of times by the great engulfing eternity. Why? Why then are we so wrapped up in stereo, magazines, newspapers, radio, time? This time. There's nothing wrong with time. I'm for it. Love it. But why are we so wrapped up with that which is temporal? When forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Did you know what? Look at this book for a minute. Look at it. Did you know that this book... Now, hold it now. This book never began. God didn't one day decide to write a book and say, Moses, get your pen. God didn't do that. Here's the scripture. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. Forever, this book has always been present tense. You say, preacher, everything's got to start. No. This book will never die, and this book was never born. You say, explain it. If I could, I'd go crazy. You're about to go crazy hearing me say it. God didn't say to Moses, now then, Moses, I got to tell the people something. Let me tell you, I got to put this in words. No, sir. No, sir. God one day picked up his microphone and said, Moses, hear me. He said, there is a book up here that's always been up here. And he said, there are truths up here that have always been up here. Now he said, I want mankind who lives in time to get a copy of this book that lives in eternity. And I want to give men in time something that's always been up here. And God wrote the book of Genesis, and it was a book that was never born. It was always there. You say, explain it. Bless God, I can't explain it. But I believe it. God wanted Paul to write Romans. The book of Romans, every word of the book of Romans was in heaven from the beginning. Well, you say, preacher, how could there be no beginning? God never began. Jesus was a pre-existent eternal Son of God, without mother, without father, without beginning, without ending, Paul said in Hebrews. And this word, this word always was. I can't understand it. I can't comprehend it. Do you understand what I hold in my hand? Do you understand what this is? You ought to be digging to find out what's in that book that always was. This book was born the same day God Almighty was born. This book was born in eternity, without beginning, without ending. Eternity. Eternity. Eternity! You say, preacher, explain it. I can't. I'm lost in it. You say, preacher, I can't comprehend. I can't comprehend it either. But I'm so glad that my God is an eternal God who has an eternal book that I cannot understand nor comprehend. That's why the book's so wonderful. Because every time I read it, I found out something I couldn't understand yesterday, I can understand today. And so far, I'm just wading up to my ankles in it. Imagine what I'm going to learn when I get to glory. Eternity. Eternity. Eternity.
Did you know? 1 John 2:17 says, He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Forever. I can understand why, if doing the will of God is an eternal matter, why you're so wrapped up doing what you want to do. The lady sat in the kingdom office this morning. She said, well, I'll need some advice. I said, what about? She said, well, I want to do so-and-so. And I said, what does God want you to do? Well, she said, I prayed about it. This is what I want to do. I said, what does God want you to do? Well, she said, this is what I've always wanted to do. I said, what does God want you to do?
I can't comprehend. Look, only one life. I don't understand it, the fact you wouldn't want to spend your life on something that's eternal rather than something that's temporal. I don't understand it.
Our little wills. Choosing our own school to go to. Choosing our own vocation to follow. Choosing our own mate for life. Choosing our own town to live in. Look, you say, preacher, what are you? I'm saying this. I'm saying, would you tell me why in the name of common sense, if there is an eternity, would you tell me what right a person has to live in a certain area because he likes it there? It won't matter 100 years from tonight or 50 whether you live in the balmy breezes of Palm Beach or in the chilling winds of northern Canada. It won't matter whether you sat on the beaches of Hawaii or chilled in the northern part of Alaska. It won't matter whether you wore silk and satin or wore hand-me-downs or bought all your clothes at Goodwill. It won't matter. Why? Eternity. Oh, but you, the preacher, I want folks to be impressed. What difference does it make? Folks being impressed is just for a drop in the ocean compared to eternity. Eternity. Daniel 12:3 says, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. They that turn men into righteousness as the stars forever. Would you tell me then why we spend so much time on time? Young people, you want to choose the vocation that God's called you to follow? The lady asked tonight back here, and she's a fine lady, I'm not being unkind to her. But she said, Mother House, what do you do if you're afraid to get baptized? And I said, you get baptized. Brother House, I don't like the North. Would you tell me, if there's an eternity, what matters what you like in time? Matthew 25:41 says, then should it say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now I want to ask you a question. How many of you believe this book is the Word of God, word for word? Raise your hand way up high. I'm not going to trick you. Raise your hand way up high. All right. Then how many of you believe that man, when he dies, lives forever? Raise your hand way up high, would you please? All right. How many of you believe that man who is born again goes to heaven and lives there forever? Would you raise your hand way up high, please? All right. How many of you then believe that man who dies in his sins burns in hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever? Would you raise your hand way up high, please? Put your hands down. If you raise your hand then and have an unsaved husband, never weep over him and stay awake all night and fast and pray and beg him to get saved, I think you're lying. You mean to tell me there could be somebody that shares your own table and shares your own bed and shares with you becoming heirs of the grace of life? I'll be honest. I can't understand how anybody could believe in hell and never tell anybody the way to avoid it. It's not a new story. You old-timers have heard me tell it. Years ago, I was at the Bill Rice Ranch.
I was going on the morning cookout breakfast, riding a horse. Horses never can ride under me. When I go down, they're always coming up. When I go up, they're always going down. We always meet in a very, I don't know how the horse feels about it, but a very painful thing for me. And after I ride a horse, I'm bow-legged for 6 months, and I hurt for 6 months, too. I can't sit down. And Dr. John said, ride on your muscles instead of your bones. I said, talk to me like that. It's not me, it's the horse that caused me trouble. I was riding out on early in the morning. And Pete Rice and I were talking, going out to cook out breakfast. You know, young man rode up beside me, and he said, Dr. Hiles, I want to ask you a question. And I said, what is it? He said, I'm trying to decide what kind of preacher to be. He said, I'm enamored by some of these so-called deeper life preachers. That's these little rascals that all they do is just teach the Bible and let a whole world go to hell. All over this country, they're growing like wildfire. Out in California, there's a guy out there having far too much influence. Doesn't even give an invitation after he preaches the Word of God. Influencing our preacher boys. No separation, no standard. I wouldn't give you a dime for that kind of Christianity. He said, I'm trying to decide whether to be a deeper life preacher, as they say, or whether to be a hellfire and brimstone preacher, soul winner. He said, I've talked to a deeper life preacher. I want to talk to you. He said, would you give me some advice? I said, yes, son, I will. He said, okay, what do you think I ought to be? I said, is there a hell? Is there a hell? He said, yes, there is. I said, okay. He said, okay, now you talk to me about advising me about what to do with my life. Shall it be soul winning or deeper life? I said, is there a hell? He said, Dr. Hiles, I already answered that. He said, now advise me. I said, is there a hell? Dr. Hiles, he said, you're getting spooky. He said, you just said the same thing. Oh, I said, is there a hell? He said, well, do you think I ought to be a soul winning preacher or a deeper lifer? I said, is there a hell? Is there a hell? Well, he said, the other fellow sat down and talked to me quite a while. What you going to say? I said, is there a hell? He said, well, won't you refute what he said? I said, is there a hell? 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 If there's not, close the doors. Lock the doors. Cancel out school starting in a month. Hey, close Hiles Anderson College. Let's all eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we may die. He said, are you going to say anything else? I said, yes. Is there a hell? Is there a hell? He scratched his head and he says, I just can't get anything else out of him. He told a friend. I said, is there a hell? Several months passed. My friend Russell Anderson said one day, he said, Dr. Hiles, I heard a young man preach last week. He met you at the ranch. He said he counseled with you about whether to be a deeper lifer or a soul winning preacher. I said, do you know what decision he made? Well, he said he didn't say that, but said he sure had a hot sermon. He preached on the subject, is there a hell? Is there a hell? Is there a hell? Is it true that while we sit here tonight, while I stand behind this pulpit, is the rich man still crying for water? Is Judas Iscariot holding up his hands begging for mercy? Is it true that the Kaiser Wilhelms, Adolf Hitlers, John Dillingers, is it true that they're burning in hell tonight? Is it true that while we sit here in the luxury of this building, there's a place where men are crying for mercy and crying for one drop of water to cool their tongue? Will they be there 100 years from now still? Is that true? Is that true? Don't you tell me you believe it's true and not come back to church Wednesday night. Don't you tell me you believe it's true and never tell anybody the story of Christ. Don't you tell me. Is it true?
Is it true? That's what drives me. That's what keeps me going.
But you sit with the hiles. You're going to kid yourself going like you do. That's just time. That's just time.
But you say, preacher, I'm worried about your health. That's just time. That's just time.
Since I was a little lad, 17 years old, 16, 15, 14, trying to save enough money to get a meal every once in a while and going up and down the streetcar tracks trying to find empty Coke bottles so I could sell them for 2 cents apiece and buy maybe a can of spinach to open and eat. Time hasn't meant a great deal to me. Eternity. May we lift our heads out of time and into eternity. What then does it matter how pretty we are? How fair of face we may be. That's time. Forgive me if I say this. I'd like to have a full head of hair. I'd like to have a half a head of hair. Or a quarter head of a hair. But I'll be honest with you. I don't lose any sleep over it. That's time. That's time. That's just time. Time doesn't impress me a great deal. These crow's feet on the side of my eyes, thank God for horn-rimmed glasses. I wish I could find something horn-rimmed to cover up my stomach. But these crow's feet that you see here, I'm not too much worried about those. That's just time. My little mother holds up her little arms. Skin hangs down 4 or 5 inches. I said, Brother Howell, does that worry you? No, that's just time. That's just time. The little face is wrinkled. I mean, her face is wrinkled now. She can't even caulk it anymore. Brother Howell, does that worry? That's just time. That's just time. Well, the house, does it worry you when you cause your throat? I wish I had a good throat. Wish my esophagus weren't like it is. That's just time. That's just time. The thing I want to do is I want to occupy myself with eternity. That's why you don't see me very much doing a lot of shopping. Old Dr. Rice used to wear the same kind of shoes all the time. Tom McCann, same make, same price. He'd go down and say to the fellow, wear size so-and-so, and Tom McCann, so-and-so. And within 5 minutes, he had it all paid and had bought and married his shoes. His wife said, Dr. John, she said, if I bought shoes like you do, I wouldn't have any fun. He said, I didn't go for fun, I went for shoes. This world is not my home. Just passing through. I'll tell you something. When I go to some little town somewhere traveling, I never worry about what folks think about how I look. I just take these two hairs and spread them over my head. Spray them right quick. Stick them together. I never wonder. Folks think I'm handsome. I wonder if folks think I'm good looking. That's just time. Are these folks, I wonder if they like my preaching. That's just time. That's all. I have all eternity to be good looking. You're going to see me in glory one of these days and say, I'll declare. I thought that's Jesus at first. That's just all life, just time. Just time. Let's get out of time. Let's get out of time reading and get into eternal reading. Let's get out of time work and get into eternal work. Let's get out of time and get into eternity. I'm not saying you shouldn't be nice here. I'm not saying you shouldn't dress as nicely as you can. I'm saying when you take about 15 minutes to get as pretty as you can, then forget it. Everybody else does. Forget it. I'm not, how am I going to make it financially? That's time. I got all eternity to hear Jesus say to me, Jack, you're faithful. I got all eternity to hear Jesus say to me, you preach the truth like you saw it. Why should I be worried about time's compliments when I've got eternity's compliments ahead of me? Why should I be worried about time's pleasure when I have eternity's pleasure ahead of me? Father, I pray you bless the message tonight. It's been foreign language to some people.